Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. I urge you to greet your friends and neighbors. You can even cross the aisle. Let's welcome each other. Let us now sing the preparation for worship, please. I want to welcome everybody, and I'm so glad you braved the cold and the snow to come today. First of all, considering the potential weather we may be having for the next couple of days, obviously programming that we will be having tomorrow evening will be canceled, and that's including the Board of Trustees meeting that's at 6 o'clock. It will need to be canceled and rescheduled. Please look for your emails on that. Also, any programming that may be on Tuesday, please, you may call the church. We will have an announcement on the telephone stating whether we are open for service, for business or not. But please do that. Check your emails and or call the church. Weather permitting, there will be an informational meeting for all who might be interested in learning more about the cold weather emergency shelter ministry. That will be at 7 o'clock in the fellowship hall on Tuesday night, weather permitting. This is not a training session. This is an informational session so that you can find out more about the program. Larry asked that we announced that the communication team members, please watch your emails regarding upcoming meetings. Hot Wednesday this week is Tim Terry, a former inmate on a mission to help others go from the cell block to leading productive lives. He's the founder of Jumpstart Ministry. This is a very interesting ministry. I urge all of you to be here Wednesday night at 6 o'clock for that meeting. If you're coming for dinner, please call and make reservations. Also, please check the bulletin and the church newsletter for circle information. Weather permitting, Tuesday, they'll be having a blanket tying work day, both Tuesday and Wednesday. It's in the back of your bulletin here. These are to prepare blankets that Steve Skinner and Jim and Kathy Kelly will be taking to Honduras in their mission ministry later this month. We need able hands that can come and tie a knot, and that would be anybody from 3 on up. That's Tuesday from 1 to 5, weather permitting, and Wednesday from 10 to 2.
Please stand for the call to worship, if you're able. A voice of power and majesty calls out to us, I am your God. I have called you in righteousness. We are amazed that God knows us and calls us. By God's breath and spirit, we receive life. God takes us by the hand and leads us. In covenant with God, we extend light to the world. Eyes are open and prisoners are free. Justice and peace prevail by God's strength. Worship with joy and give glory to God's name. Listen for the new thing God declares. Remember that we have been baptized. May we live as those with whom God is pleased.
Join together in praying the prayer of invocation as printed in your bulletin. Come, Holy Spirit, to dwell in us and among us. Make us more than dimly burning wicks, that we might share enough light to make a difference in your world. Where there is injustice, help us as we work to change the minds and the hearts of those who benefit from it. Show us again the new possibilities you have in mind for us. May we reflect your peace amid the frantic, busy pace of the marketplace. You may be seated.
I invite you to join in the reading and the singing of the Psalter. We will be using Psalm 29, found on page 761 in the hymnal. We will begin with the sung response, which Joyce will play now. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Worship the Lord in the holy splendor.
The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders, the Lord upon many waters.
The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty.
With joy the Lord of hosts proclaim, extol the great almighty name.
The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord makes Lebanon to skip like a calf, and Syrian like a young wild ox.
The voice of the Lord flames of fire.
The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness.
The Lord shakes the wilderness.
The voice of the Lord makes the oaks to whirl and strips the forest bare. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as ruler forever.
May the Lord his strength
is
his table, and
may
the Lord
rest
his people in peace.
With joy the Lord of hosts proclaim, extol the great almighty name.
The Old Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, the 42nd chapter, verses 1 through 9. It contains the first of the four several songs in Isaiah. The writer might have intended these songs to describe his own prophetic mission or the mission of Israel to the nations. But Christians understand these songs to describe Jesus as the Messiah. Listen now for God's word to us. And this is on page 820 in your pew Bible if you would like to follow along. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name, my glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. This is the word of the Lord.
As we prepare to go to prayer at this time, I would like to remind you that Joe Gallagher has passed away and that his memorial service will be held at a later time to be determined by the family. And also received a message this morning that Jean Marie Coleman passed away as well, and I know some of you know them. You see the prayer concerns that are printed in our bulletin. Let us be in an attitude of prayer. Holy God, on this day when we are called to remember your baptism, the baptism that catapulted you into your earthly ministry, for the challenges that faced you as Son of God and Son of Man, for the healing words that you brought to a sick humanity. Dear God, we think of our roles, who we are, who we claim to be, what you would have for us to do as your people at this time and at this age. And we pray, Almighty God, that you would lead us in a clear path, that we all would have an inburning sense of your will, of your direction. And if we don't know your will and your direction, that at least we would have an inburning desire to do what you would have us to do, to be the beacon that shines out, guiding men and women and boys and girls to a relationship with you. Holy God, may your holy presence stir deep within us. And may your holy presence touch these who have suffered loss, those who are recuperating in the hospital or in a facility to enhance their recovery. Dear God, we pray for those who are lost and lonely, and those who need a friend, those in faraway places and away from home, military persons, missionaries, for those that you are speaking to and calling them into a deeper commitment with you. Maybe those who you're calling into the ministry or to the mission field. Be with them and the leaders of our church and the leaders of our nation. And we pray as you taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us worship the Lord now with a morning tithing offering. Ushers, would you come, please? Let us pray. Holy God, we thank you for the privilege to give to your kingdom. We thank you, O God, for the faith that these gifts will make a difference in the lives of people everywhere, all over this world. Bless giver and gift, and those who have not, and those who chose not to give this day. To all things we give glory to you, Father Almighty, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
Please be seated, and we invite the children to the front for the children's message.
Today, since we're set up for a special sermon on baptism, we're going to meet over here with Miss Alice. So we're going to come over here to the side. We're going to gather over here on the corner.
Good morning. My name is Miss Alice, and I am Caroline, Robert, and Ruthanna's mommy. And I have a secret to tell you. All of those grown-ups out there, do you know what? They scare me a little bit. Because I've never done this before. I've never stood up in front of this many people and had a microphone and had to tell something important. But you and I, we're just going to pretend like they're not here this morning and we're just going to tell a story, okay? Okay, this morning my story is about a mommy and a daddy who got very, very scared. Last week we talked about Jesus as a tiny baby. Remember, and we talked about the wise men coming. This morning, Pastor Martin's going to talk to us about Jesus as a grown-up. But do you know what? Jesus didn't go from a baby to a grown-up in a week. He didn't even go from a baby to a grown-up in a year. He grew each and every day, just like you and I do. Okay? So as Jesus was growing up, Mary and Joseph, his mama and daddy, took him to Jerusalem every year to the Passover. And in the Bible, it tells us the story of Jesus when he was 12, when he went to the Passover with his mom and dad. And this comes from Luke 2. And Jesus went from Nazareth, his hometown, to Jerusalem with his mom and dad. And they were with a big group of people. And they were all traveling together. And they attended all the Passover, the feast and the festivities in Jerusalem. And then they got ready to walk home. And Mary and Joseph thought that Jesus was with some other friends within their group. And when they started looking for him, they could not find him anywhere. And so they kept looking, and they had to turn around and go back to Jerusalem. And after 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. Now remember, they'd also been really, really scared. They'd been missing Jesus for 3 days. What if you'd been gone from home and your mommy and daddy had missed you for 3 days and they didn't know where you were? Can you imagine what they would have done when they saw you? What would they have done?
They would have ran up and
hugged
you.
For sure. For sure. Jesus' mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Mary and Joseph didn't understand that Jesus meant that he was in God's house because God was his heavenly father. And even at 12, Jesus understood that he was God's son. Okay. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them.
But his mother treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Jesus went home with them to Nazareth, and it says he was obedient to them. He did everything his mama and daddy asked the first time. And he was nice to his brothers and sisters every single time. He was kind to his friends. Okay, Jesus was a perfect child. Okay, he was perfect from his birth until his death because he was sent to be our Savior. Okay, let's pray. Y'all repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for Jesus. May we, like him, grow in wisdom and stature. Amen.
The gospel lesson this morning is found in the gospel according to Matthew. Begin reading with the 13th verse of the third chapter. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." And then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him, and a voice and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. Today things are a little bit different. We have our baptismal font that has been moved, and there's a big old octagon-shaped spot here where it normally sits. And it's out here in the middle, and I hope it's not too sacrilegious for some of you that we have brought it to the center. On either side of us, we have lavers of water. This morning, I'm calling for you to remember your baptism. I remember when I was going before the Board of Ordained Ministry, and we were talking about this very passage of Scripture. Now, I remember in the process of our discussion, question was asked, and what does happen at baptism?
I thought for a moment. I said, I don't know. Later on, I was talking with one of the individuals that was there on the committee that was interviewing me. And he looked at me and he said, Terry, none of us really know exactly what happens at baptism. Jesus was coming to John to be baptized. And I still remember the day in Bible school when we were talking and someone said, why? And I'm sure as I ask that question or say that this morning, why, there are some of you that are in your own mind and heart are giving your answers for why you think Jesus came to John to be baptized. But clearly John realized something was amiss here. John didn't need to be baptizing Jesus. In reality, Jesus needed to be baptizing John. But Jesus said, this is the way that it's going to be. When John consented, the scripture says, and the heavens were opened. I'm reminded of a little boy who read a passage of scripture about hearing a voice from heaven, and he looked at his little dog and he said, Rex, I don't ever hear any voices from above. And in the little bubble caption that goes above the little cartoons, the little dog was thinking, attention, Kmart shoppers. I think of the voices that I hear sometimes, especially when I'm sitting at a red light and I hear the boom, the boom, the boom, you know. And some of the words that I understand are not words that I'm accustomed to listening to. I wonder what type of voice the gentleman was listening to yesterday when he shot the congressman and all those other individuals around. As we stand, sit here, worship here today, with our toes in a new year, we can ask ourselves the question, what are the voices that I'm accustomed to listening to? What is it that I want to hear God speaking to me this year? What is it that God wants to do inside of me? Bishop Davis, in talking about baptism and ministry, and as I mentioned to you when I went before the Board of Ordained Ministry to be an elder, and we have elders and deacons who serve our churches now in an ordained capacity. He said, ministry didn't start when I was ordained an elder. Ministry started when I was baptized. Now, for some of you, you may have experienced what is called believer's baptism, and that's very valid. And it's very biblical. But for many of us, we were baptized in a liturgical format where we were brought to the church as infants, and we were brought here and we were baptized. And even before we were known, even before we even knew our own name, our name was known in the church. We were brought in as a family, and we were nurtured, and we are nurtured and continue to be nurtured in the church. As United Methodists, we believe that when a person is baptized, that the grace of God comes upon that individual in a way that they are distinctly different. And we're adamant that we baptize once in a lifetime. That's it. The grace of God is sufficient once. This morning, we're going to be following along the liturgy that is in your bulletin. And you're going to be given the opportunity to come back to these waters, to touch them. You can do anything with this water you want to do. You can take your hand and place it on top of your head, because the reality is that you can't baptize yourself. So you can take the water, you can put it on your head, you can put it on your face, you can do the crucifix, you can just touch it. Or you don't have to participate. The ushers are not going to come down the aisle and say, okay, this row and this row and this row. We're not going to go and tell the choir to come down first. There are three different stations here. You're going to be given the privilege to come, to stand here, to touch this water, and to remember your baptism. And then to think where God would lead you. Think whatever you want to think. I don't even want to give you directions for that. It's just a time to remember God's grace, God's presence, and why we do what we do. Following along with me, brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledging what God is doing for us, and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? According to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representative in the world? Let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament. Do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. And after the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. And when you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John, anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit, and by this gift of water, call to our remembrance the grace declared to us in our baptism. For you have washed away our sins. You clothe us with righteousness throughout our lives, that dying and rising with Christ, we may share in his final victory. Remember your baptism and be thankful. Remember your baptism and be thankful. Remember your baptism and be thankful. The Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through the water and the Spirit, you may live as faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. I'm going to invite you now, before we have the Thanksgiving, we'll do that at the end, to come forward now and to touch the water at either of these stations, only as you're moved and only as you feel, but to come. You're invited. If you choose not to come, that's fine. That's your choice. But I invite you to come and remember your baptism and be thankful. Would you come?
Continuing to follow along, please, in your liturgy as in your bulletin. Let us rejoice in the faithfulness of our covenant God.
We give thanks for all that God has already given us
as members of the body of Christ and of this congregation in our Methodist Church. We will faithfully participate in the ministries of the church, our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. The God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Turn in your hymnals, please, to number 252. It is said of Martin Luther, the great reformer, that in the midst of some of his toughest trials, he would say, "This I know, that I am baptized. Go forth in the name of Christ and know that you are in covenant with God and that you are his baptized children." Amen. Thank you.